For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
97.1 FM Talk. On-demand audio.
You know, I've admitted this before, I shamefully, because we indulge in some reality TV shows, watch this show, The Traitors, which is just so bad. They're having a new version of it come out in the fall. But Lisa Rinna was on The Traitors. You know who Lisa Rinna is? Married to Harry Hamlin, right? Yeah, yes. The Lips, right. She's just legit crazy. Here's what she said about the Lindsay Clancy case.
Patrick did it. Patrick's the one who did it. Not Lindsay. I was actually in therapy today, and my therapist and I were talking about it, and she looks at me and she goes, he did it. I was like, wow, yeah.
Yeah, because he didn't do it. I mean, if there's one thing we know here is that Lindsay Clancy actually murdered her children. Now, whether or not there is an insanity defense or not, that's what the jury's going to decide. Kat Rosenfield is back with us. A columnist at the Free Press has written about this. Hello, Kat. How are you?
Very well. How are you? Thanks for having me.
I have a lot more empathy here and a lot, maybe a little bit better understanding of what was going on, only because I had a terrible mental health issue last year. I missed work for a couple of months. I'm on some of the same medications that Lindsay Clancy was on. And, you know, I've said this before, Kat. I come from a period working in radio 3 decades ago when I thought things like postpartum depression or even depression in and of itself was like, wait, what are you talking about? That sounds crazy. Well, I know that mental illness is a real thing, but this is really a complicated case, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. You know, one can acknowledge that mental illness is a real thing. I believe it is. I believe that she suffered from postpartum depression and very likely postpartum psychosis. At the same time, she did kill her children. And confronting that is a very difficult thing, as evidenced by the fact that so many people have formed camps either to deny her culpability, even for having committed the act with her own hands, or to deny her culpability insofar as they feel like she can't be held responsible because of her mental illness.
Yeah, and so, you know, I see even some people out there, even people I like and follow on social media, that say that she's a monster, you know, she's evil. And maybe that's the case. I'm not sitting there through all this testimony. But what I do know is that there's a fair amount of testimony on the part of experts and psychiatrists that indicate that she was, you know, over-medicated, that the doctors weren't, I think, taking care of her properly, that she was in this, I don't know if it was a psychotic episode, but there was certainly something dark that was happening that was clearly apparent with her. You've had the mother-in-law and her mother testify. Do you have a sense following this of how this jury might go?
I can't even imagine. I'm grateful I'm not on that jury. It's not a responsibility that I would want.
Right.
My sense is, you know, and you know, for those of us who are not being asked to make that call to determine whether Lindsay Clancy can be held responsible for what she did, all of the theorizing that everyone is doing, whether it's developing these kind of wacky alternate theories of the crime, saying that her husband actually killed the children, or whether they're saying, you know, I feel compassion for her because I too have struggled with mental health and I feel like that could have been me, you know, if things had gone badly, or the people who are saying that she's literally a demon. What everyone is engaged in basically is an attempt to make sense of something that is ultimately not a thing we can truly make sense of. At the end of the day, this is a mother who killed her children. It's an unspeakably terrible thing, and it boggles the mind. I don't think that there's really a version of events where we come around to feeling like, okay, it makes sense to me that this happened.
Yeah, and you even point out, and look, this is tough to even read this, and I'm sure it was tough to write this. You said there's so much we don't know, so much we can only imagine if we can bear to. I wonder, for instance, about the order of this. Did she kill Cora first, the oldest, knowing that a 5-year-old was most likely to realize what was happening, to run, to fight back? I don't like thinking about this, but I can't stop thinking about this. And those are the things we probably won't maybe know the answers to those questions. And it's hard for me because while I have empathy and I've seen the medication, this was just such a horrific crime that how can you just overlook it, right?
Yeah, you know, and I make my living as a culture writer and also as a novelist, so I am used to inhabiting scenarios like this, building them from scratch, trying to put myself in the head of a person who does a terrible thing, which, as terrible as it is, they do it because it makes sense to them in the moment. And this is true of really any one of these crimes that shocks the conscience. The person who does these things, in the moment they do them, whatever the reasons, it does make sense to them. It's a very hard thing to wrap one's head around. And I do think that it's very difficult for us to talk about. It's very difficult for us to look at it head on.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, I think you'd agree that no matter what happens here, there's going to be a large swath of people following this that will be disappointed.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think that that just sort of speaks to the fact that a terrible thing has already happened. There is no outcome to this trial that's going to make anybody, even if they get what they ostensibly think they want, feel better about it. You know, there's really kind of no adequate avenue forward, no justice that can be really truly served here. You know, we can do our best, but I think it will never feel like enough, no matter what it is that happens.
I think you're right about that. I mean, my main, I think, focus the last couple of days when they issued the medication list and just talking, I had a psychiatrist and an expert on yesterday that was pretty good about this, and there just didn't seem to be, and I'm coming from a perspective where I've had a fair amount of psychiatric care and I trust my doctors and I felt good about that, but she seemed to be ping-ponging back with, you know, trying this and trying that, because doctors were telling her to do that. And, you know, that we know has bad side effects. All you have to do is listen to some of the commercials. But whether or not that is what happened here and that's what was taking hold, the jury's going to have to decide. But, Kat, thanks for writing about this. You know I'm a fan. Thanks for coming on 97.1 FM Talk here in St. Louis.
Nice to chat with you.
All right, take care.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.